Hey, this is Travis Bennett, the pastor here at Arena of Life Church, and I just want to welcome you to our podcast. I pray this builds your faith, encourages you, and brings you to newer levels in Christ. Enjoy the message.
Let's read Matthew chapter 5. Starting in verse 1, he said, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," he's opening his mouth, we need to pay attention, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Amen. Well, look at your neighbor this morning and say, it looks like you could use some meekness in your life. Come on. Amen. Go to your second choice and say, it looks like you gained 15 pounds. Amen. No, don't do that. Well, how many of y'all thankful for the week of Thanksgiving? Come on, how many of y'all know we have a lot to be thankful for? The reason I say that is because I'm thankful for pumpkin pie, pumpkin swirl cake, pumpkin cheesecake, pumpkin everything. Pecan pie, all the dressings, gravy. This year I learned that gravy was actually something you eat. I thought it was a beverage all these years. But this year I learned something a little bit different. That's why I'm saying it looked like you gained 15 pounds. I feel like today is an untucked shirt day because of that. And but I'm so thankful. We've had a busy week. We went up to spend time with my parents in Colorado with family up there, and left at Friday morning at 5 a.m. Longmont, Colorado, to be weigh-ins for the Panhandle Nationals. Started at 1 p.m. here. Wrestling started at 3, and Ketch, he had too much turkey. He weighed too much. And so wrestling in the 41, he weighed 41.4, so we had to do a little. But the boys wrestled this weekend, had a busy weekend, but we have a lot to be thankful for. One thing I just want to point out, and talking to my uncle this morning, I'm so thankful, those of you that have prayed for my aunt, I just want to give glory to God that she is a miracle, that she is the healed of the Lord. Those of you that don't know, she, 3 weeks ago, this Sunday, was in the hospital. She had an abscess on her colon that burst, went septic through her body. They went in with a robot to repair it and saw that they couldn't, so they opened her up. She was on the ventilator for 6 days. And during, you know, anytime anybody's on a ventilator, it's no fun, right? Especially with everything going on. But she jerked it out while we were in church on Sunday by herself. Come on, somebody. I ain't going to mess with her. I knew that before. But she is now in rehab and doing great. So let's just give God praise for that, that the Lord is our healer. Amen. And so we're so thankful for that. But I would want to say this. Before she went into surgery, she was very sick. She was in faith. And can I tell you, that makes all the difference in the world. Can I tell you, that makes all the difference in the world. I'm going to say it one more time. When you stand in faith, you say, you know what? The facts don't matter of what the doctor has said. God is my healer. And I'm telling you, it'll make all the world a difference in your life. All right, if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5, we just read it. We've been going over the Beatitudes, and I believe it is the attitudes that all of us need. And it's counterculture to what the world tells you where happiness comes from. The world would tell you that happiness comes from the boat, from the motorcycle, from the perfect family, from the house, and all those things. But we see here in Scripture that happiness comes from all these places that we wouldn't look. Now, how many of y'all know there's a kingdom paradox throughout the Word of God that he teaches us through Scripture, especially through the Sermon on the Mount and starting out with the Beatitudes, that we look to the world, but God says, look through the Word. Look to the Spirit of God. And it's counterculture of how we live today, but I see, as I've been studying these out and looking throughout these and meditating and chewing on these each and every week, as we did a couple weeks ago, poor in spirit, and those that mourn shall be comforted. How many of y'all were here last week for that? I believe the Lord ministered to you. Just keep your hand raised if God ministered to you in that regard. Amen. Praise God. I believe there was ministry, and God's anointing was here and set people free last week. But I see that these texts and the Beatitudes are more important, more relevant than they've ever been before. And if I'm just honest with you, I wish the Beatitudes came in multiple choice, right? Like, I'll take a 3, 4, 6, and a 7. Because 1 and 2 are a little bit hard, and you know, 3's a little bit difficult as well. And like a meat combo, give me ribs, you know, meat and potatoes and, you know, cornbread on the side. Skip, you know, other things. Don't you wish that it was like this? But obviously, he puts all of these in here because if we live by these, there'll be blessings that come in our life. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live under a curse. I want to live a life that's blessed. I'm going to say that again. How many of y'all want to live a life that's blessed and not cursed? The world wants you to live cursed, but God's promise to you is if you do the commandments of the Lord, there's a blessing that comes with that. Give and it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. I'm telling you, there's blessings that flow from the Word if we just do them. Well, I say it all the time, the Word works if you work it, right? Prayer works if you just work it. Amen? Prosperity will come into your, but you've got to work giving in your life. You've got to work tithing in your life. And so, what I have seen in these texts here, as it's counterculture, going to Matthew chapter 5, let's just go ahead and go into our text this morning. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Anytime I see the word inherit, I like it. I perk up, right? It means I don't have to work for it, really. It just comes to me, right? Like the it was signed on the line of something that I receive. How many of y'all know you inherit lots of things because of what Jesus did on the cross? Not because of what I did, but because of what he did for you and I. How many of y'all thankful for that? Come on, we ought to be grateful for Jesus this morning. Amen? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's an inheritance that you and I receive, not of what we've done, but what he has done for us. And so, but the Living Bible, the TLB, the Travis Lee Bennett version here, it says, the meek, listen to this, I love this, the meek and lowly are fortunate. I don't know about you, but I want to be fortunate. For the whole wide world belongs to them. Isn't that good? Listen to the Message translation. It says this in Matthew 5 and verse 5, you're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. Isn't that good? I love it. And the first thing that I want to tell you this morning is meek is not being weak. Meek is not being weak. In fact, you find me somebody who walks in meekness, I'll show you somebody that is a powerful person because they are surrendered to God. Meek is not a popular word today, right? But it's a Bible word. In fact, it's a Jesus word. If you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 11. We see here, not lots of times Jesus gives a description of himself, but he does in this particular text. He says in Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. How many of y'all have ever gone through some things before that's just heavy on you? Where it makes you at night just lay in bed and look at the ceiling. Maybe it's something going on with your kids. Maybe it's something going on inside of your marriage. Maybe it's a financial decision that you have to make. Maybe it's just America. Hello. But he says this. He said, I will give you rest. The Bible tells us to cast all our care on him, for he cares for us. How many of y'all know all of us in here are guilty of trying to put it all on us, of us trying to figure it out? That's why you have the Lord. Amen. He's the healer. He's the provider. And then it goes to verse 29. I love it. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. See, as we study out Jesus, he doesn't always give us descriptions. He does tell us, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. But there's not lots of times that Jesus say, I am something, but this got my attention. Jesus said it. This is in red letter. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So look at this text here. We see this. Meek, when you're walking in meekness in your life, it will give you rest. We need to pay attention to what meekness does. It will give you rest. See, some of the most angry people on the planet are the ones that don't sleep. Can I get an amen out there? You give me a mama that hasn't slept very much, she'll be a little bit grouchy in the line at Walmart. Amen? When they got a kid on both hips, they're a little bit irritated, and I get it. I mean, I understand that. I have a perspective for that. But how many of y'all know people that are bitter are people that are not sleeping? Right? And when you're not sleeping, I'm telling you, it's important that you get rest. Here's a command from your pastor. Get some sleep. Amen? I'm guilty of this sometimes, especially in the summertime. I will work and work and work and work and work. And sometimes my body catches up to me. And you get a little bit grouchy. Don't point your finger at me. You're all in the same boat that I'm in. You get a little bit grouchy. But I love it that he ties meekness to rest. Because what you're doing in meekness is this. And we're going to look at the description of meekness. When you're meek, you're surrendered to him. And when you're surrendered to him, the most peaceful people on earth are the people that are meek, because they're not out to surrender to a family member or to a neighbor or to a boss to appease them. They're surrendered to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It doesn't matter what my neighbor thinks of me. It doesn't matter what people on Facebook think of me. It doesn't matter what Instagram has said against me or TikTok or anything else. It matters what the Word of God says about me, and I'm not surrendered to them and what they say about me. I'm surrendered to what God says about me. Are you paying attention this morning? I'm kind of giving you the description before I get into it. But in Matthew 19, there's a story of the rich young ruler. And every time I read the Bible through in a year, when I get to the story of the rich young ruler, I always think of this. This is where my mind goes. I'm sure all the disciples, when this rich young ruler shows up, this is what I think about. I think that the disciples are thinking this. Yes, finally somebody's here that can pay for some things. We don't have to look for a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish no more. I mean, thank God for the miracles that Jesus did, but somebody's finally here that can do some stuff and pay for some things around here. And he comes to Jesus and he says, and he begins to have this conversation with him. And he says, good master. You guys know the story, go back and read it. And he begins to ask him, I've done this and I've done that. Jesus begins to reply to him, have you done this and have you done that? And the young man, he says, I've done all those things. But what do I lack? And Jesus says to him, he says, if you want to be perfect, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. He says, come and follow me. And the young man goes, whoa, 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 whoa. See, what does he do? He says, hey, I have all these things, but one thing that I can't do is I can't surrender fully to you. And Jesus takes this time. In fact, one of the great things that he says in this, with this, with men, things are impossible, but with God, things are impossible. He said it'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than this rich man to go into the kingdom of God. He's speaking to his disciples right in front of the man. And the last thing that he says, many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The New King James says, the last first. You know what I see in the world today, not only in America, but across the world, there is people that don't know how to be last first. Last first. I mean, I always like a winner, right? But how many of y'all know when you have a meekness about you, it's like, I don't have to be first. It's a kingdom paradox that goes throughout Scripture. Like Jesus is teaching this, you gain by losing, which is different from the world's perspective. He teaches you really live when you're dying. You rise up when you're bowing down. You truly alive when you're serving. Do you want to be first? Then you have to be last. Do you want to grow? Then give. How many of y'all know that's totally against the principles of what we're taught? If you want to grow, then give. You give. You don't wait for it to be given to you. You first give. Give and it'll be given back to you. Plant the seed. Right? It's a principle of sowing and reaping. If you want the whole world, then go with meekness. Isn't this good? Look at Psalm 25 and verse 9. And then we're going to talk about what meekness is here in just a minute. But in Psalm 25 and verse 9, it says, the meek he will guide, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. He doesn't say that about everybody, but he says this about the meek. He will guide in judgment. Look at this in Psalm 36 and verse 11. It says, but the meek shall inherit the earth, there it is again, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Find me somebody who's walking in meekness, and I will find you somebody who has peace inside of their life. You know, meekness, I was thinking about this. This isn't like when you show up for a job description and somebody says, tell me a little bit about yourself. This is not a word that we use. Well, you know, maybe you say, I believe there's integrity about me. I'm on time. I do all these other things. But it's not something you say, you know, I'll just be honest with you. I'm just a very meek person. That's just who I am, right? Because there's no strength in that word. Or we don't feel like in terms, but as I begin to study this out, there is so much strength in meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. I hope you get that this morning. Meekness is not weakness. The Bible tells us in Numbers that Moses was meek. What I see about Moses, I see Moses was such a stud. He heard from God. He was up. He saw the very finger of God. He spoke to God face to face. He led a nation out of bondage into freedom. I mean, all the things that Moses did, crossing the Red Sea, all the miracles through the 10 plagues and everything that God used him. But the Bible says this, a description that they use about him, that he was meek. And as we study the word meekness, you'll see that he was. Isaiah, scholars say that Isaiah the prophet, he was meek. I mean, what a stud. In Isaiah 9, he prophesies that there will be a baby that's born. In Isaiah 53, he prophesies that he will be like a sheep led to the slaughter, talking about Jesus 400 years before it even happens. He goes up against a country of paganism. He stands his ground and he does it in love and he does it surrendered to the will of God. But also in text, we see that Jesus was meek. He not only tells us that he was, but we study his life. We see that his life was about meekness. In fact, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul's writing the church at Colossae, and he tells them this. He says, put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. What he's telling the people here, he's saying you've got to have a Christ-like attitude. And one of the attitudes of Christ, remember we're talking about beatitudes. It's an attitude. We've got to have this attitude of meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meek is not weak. Now let's get into the description this morning of what meek is. Meek in the Greek, it means this. Proutos. It's a person, lean in here, a person who is forbearing, patient, and slow to respond in anger, or a strong-willed person. How many of y'all strong-willed people out there? Go ahead and lift your hands. All right, I'm talking to you right now. A strong-willed person who has learned to submit his will to a higher authority. This isn't a weak person. It's a controlled person. You know, the picture that they give in Greek and in the Greek Septuagint, and I found this very interesting, was the picture of a powerful stallion, a wild, fierce, independent stallion. Now, I don't know about you, when I think of a stallion, I don't think of like a mini horse. You know, even though they are, you know, they have studs that are stallions, and they act 10 foot tall and bulletproof. If you've ever been around them, you know exactly what I'm talking about. right, Kiki? That's exactly right. They think they're the man of the hour. But when I think of a stallion, I'll think of, especially in this depiction of Meek, I think of a big quarter horse or a big, like draft horse, a big, broad stud. You know what I'm talking about? Like, just huge. And the reason that they use this description is because there's many times I've been around studs that are what, obviously, they say, I've heard this before, that a stud's grip on his mouth can pick up, is it two or three times its body weight? It's something like that. How many of y'all know that's powerful? When you're looking at a big stud, I mean, everything, because they've got hormones flowing through them, their gaskins, their shoulders, everything about them is just, they're big. They're like a bulldog. They're huge. Now, there's been times where I've been to a place shoeing, and they've brought a stud out, and this stud is bigger than everybody else in the room. He's massive. He's trying to put his bluff on everybody. But they put that chain around his nose, and that horse stands at attention. He is submitted to his master. I've seen people that have roped and won all kinds of different things, barrel races, all kinds of different stuff, because this stud horse, even though he's probably the most powerful one in the room, he still has learned to be broke to his master. Are you getting the description this morning? It don't matter what lineage you come from. It don't matter how much money you have. It don't matter the things that you've done. The only reason that you've done that, because of greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's somebody who is submitted. How many of y'all know a broke horse is more powerful than an unbroke horse? You can do more things with somebody who's broke than somebody who's unbroke. I see people in the church. I see Christians. I have people that attack me all the time, that they run their mouth all the time. They're not broke in the mouth. They're not broke in their actions. They're not broke outside the church. They're not broke in the church. Come on, somebody. They're rude. Can I tell you one thing? If I'm talking to somebody and you come up and butt in, that's rude. I'm going to say it again. If I'm talking to somebody and you just come in like this, I know I'm your pastor, but that is rude. That will not get you gain in life. I'm trying to help you. All right? That is not a broke person. We've got to learn to be broke. And so when you're meek, the Bible says you inherit the earth. You inherit things. And so looking at this picture of this horse, there's so many things that I've thought about, but we struggle with this. And lots of times we think somebody who's meek is weak. We'll let somebody run over us. And I thought about this feather. And I thought about, there's Christians that, you know, I don't want to, you know, I said this the other night when Chad Prather was here, but the problem with conservatives is they're too conservative. They don't do anything. Right? We're just like, wherever America goes, we'll go with it. No. That's not being meek. Right? Or I see believers that they're driven by every little offense. Like they everything that's said against them, and they blow over here, right? I don't want to ruffle no feathers. I don't want to do anything. Or they're just floating in the air, right? You know, on Thanksgiving, I don't want to make anybody mad. So you know, I'll just have a drink with so and so, and you know, I'll just conform to everybody throughout the week. But on Sunday, I'm gonna, you know, come on. Glory to God. How many of y'all know these believers? How many of you are these believers? I ain't going to hear too many amens on that. Pastor, you know any of these? They just float through life. I don't want to ruffle no feathers. I just want to float. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Listen, this is not meekness. This is weakness. Right? But then we think this. We think, if I'm going to be meek, I'm going to be a stud horse. You show up on Thanksgiving, if you don't think the way that I think, you're going to hell. I'm here to judge. Right? I mean, y'all know them people on your Facebook page. Like, I'm right, you're wrong, and we think this is being meek. You said it's a stud horse. I'm going to stomp your face into the ground. I'm going to eat you alive. I'm the one that's right, you're the one that's wrong, and I will live this way till the day that I die. Listen, you ain't going to help nobody being like this. Who are you going to lead to the Lord being like this? Amen? And lots of times we think this is being meek. You told me he was a stud horse. No, this isn't being meek. You know what the description of meekness is? It's surrender. It means I'm not going to be floating, but I'm not also going to be forbearing. I'm going to be submitted to a loving God, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know what? You know what? Meek people have friends. Because they don't always have to be right. Right? Listen, there's people that I shoot for that are strong, strong liberals. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Am I floating like a feather of, oh, you're right? No, 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 no. Do I argue with them? No. No, I don't argue with terrorists. Just saying. Listen, the day you talk one into believing like you, come see me. Praise the Lord. You know how I'm going to do it? By my life. By my actions. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hey, every time I show up, I'm going to show up the same way. Every time I show up with them, I don't know. There's sometimes they're up, sometimes when they're down. They are unhappy all the time. I'll tell you that. But when I show up, I'm telling you, I'm going to be solid. I'm going to be surrendered to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, those people inherit the earth. Meek people have favor upon their life. Are you hearing me this morning? Are you getting the picture of what it is? It's a picture of meekness is surrender. One more scripture, or another scripture I want to read to you, James 1:21. And those of you that have been on this journey in the mornings with us, we've been studying the book of James. My, the book of James is so good. But in James, he says this, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with what? Meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Don't you love that? Not the world, but the word. The word is able to save your soul. And he says, receive it with meekness. Meaning this, there's going to be things that will ruffle your feathers. There's going to be some things in your life that you need to change. There's going to be some things in your life that you need to do a little bit differently. But you've got to receive it with meekness. God, not by my might, not by my power, but by your might, your power, says the Spirit of God, that things are going to change in my life. I'm going to be surrendered to you. Amen? And so there's three things that I want you, go ahead and write these down. I just wanted to be very practical with you today. And it's this. If you're going to have meekness in your life, number one, you've got to have a repentant heart. We've got to have a repentant heart. How many of y'all know revival comes when repentance happens? You're saying, God, I need you. It's not about me. And this is a time when you're at a repentant heart, you're strong enough to say this. I was. You got it. You know, you're confident about it. God, I was wrong. I was wrong. I was messed up in my thinking. But God, I need you. And I need to repent. Meaning this. I was going this direction. This is where repentance is. And now I'm going this direction. I was going the wrong way. Now I'm going the right way. And I'm telling you, rest will come over your soul. When you're, you know, somebody, you know what? I'm standing on this. I don't care what they say. Listen, how many of y'all know that don't work in a marriage? Right? It takes 100% from you and 100% from her or him. Right? 100% from both of you. So number one, you've got to have a repentant heart. Number two is this. There's three R's here. This is like a disease of preachers. Number two is a receptive spirit. A receptive spirit. We've been studying in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. What does he tell us? He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That word walk in the Spirit, in the Greek, the picture of this is a person that can walk down a trail blindfolded. Meaning this, that he's walked down that trail so many times that he knows where everything is. Just like in my house, I've walked through my house so many times, you can have all the lights out and I can get to the coffee maker without stumping my toe. Why? Because I've done it so many times. See, there's so many people that stump their toe, their spiritual toe throughout the week because you stop doing it on Monday. You stop doing it on Tuesday. You stop doing it on Wednesday. You stop doing it on Thursday. You might can get to the coffee maker back here on Sunday, but you have a hard time doing it throughout the week because you stop walking in the Spirit. To actually walk in the Spirit means that you never stop. Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it goes on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit that will be evident in your life. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. How many of y'all know if it made the special nine, it's a big thing that we ought to have in our life? If it's a fruit that he tells us, if this is something that you're going to combat in your life, if you're going to inherit the earth, if you're going to combat the flesh, you've got to walk in meekness, then we've got to pay attention. We've got to be humble and submitted to authority, submitted to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What does he say in James? He says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can't just resist the devil without first submitting to God. We have got to submit to God. So here's number three. First, repentant heart. Number two, receptive spirit. Number three, we've got to have a responsive life. We've got to be a doer of the word. A doer of the word. And lots of times that's hard for some of us that are strong-willed. No, I'm right. No, listen, I'm standing on this. Don't make me get out my hammer. We've got to be a doer of the word. But we also can't be the feather that's floating all in the air. Ah, I'm just going to do what everybody tells me to do. No. We've got to walk in meekness. So number one, we're going to be a repentant heart. Number two, we're going to have a receptive spirit. Number three, we're going to have a responsive life. We're going to have a tender heart, but a thick skin. Listen, if you're still getting offended about things you did 10 years ago, listen, grow up and get some thick skin. You should not be moved by what other people think about you and say about you. And so then he tells us you'll inherit the earth. John, if you want to go ahead and come and play, because I want to talk about the inheritance that we get. People that walk in meekness, you get an inheritance. Number one is this: you get an uncommon security. Write that down. Meaning this: the world don't own me. That devil of criticism don't own you anymore. That devil of comparison doesn't own you anymore. You know what you need to get the perspective of is this, that I'm going to live longer in eternity more than I am here on this earth. Right? Now, am I going to make a difference while I'm here on this earth? Yes. But the opinions and things that have been said against me and accusations that are brought against me, you know what? I'm not going to let them bend me and affect me because greater is my reward in heaven. Are you getting this morning? This is somebody who's meek that is surrendered to the word of God and to the call of God on their life. Number two is this. Number one, you get an uncommon security. You know what people need today? It's security. Security. You can have security in him. Some of y'all are still worried about what the ex said. The ex is gone. That's why he's the ex. Right? Number two is this. We're going to have a higher perspective. I won't be baited into argument. Listen, there's some of you, you argue with anyone and everything. There's no good that comes from that. Those of you that argue with your children, shame on you. Your mom and dad, you set the bar. I don't care if they're old. Don't argue with your kids. Amen, Pastor Robert? Don't argue. People that argue are not meek. If you feel like you have to win, you're not going to walk in meekness. When you have a higher perspective, you're not going to be a pot stirrer. This one's hard for me. How many of y'all know you just want to poke? Especially about your football team or whoever it is. Politics. Who am I talking to today? I was thinking about this and I was thinking about plane. We were on a plane headed to Florida. And we had a little plane drama. Love me some plane drama. Especially right now. I mean, it's like crazy what's going on in the airways. But we were flying, and these two ladies behind us, and she was, I know that they were together, these two girls, and they got in an argument. They were sitting right behind me, Anson, and was it Addison? All right, it was me, Anson, and Addison, and they started screaming at each other. And so, and then it came, I mean, obscenities, bad, 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 foul language. So I stand up and I said, look, we're not going to talk like this on the plane. And she got up and she stuck her finger in my face and she started yelling at me. John, she called me names. I mean, bad names, y'all. And I said, we're not going to talk that way in front of my kids. And she said, you take them blankety blank kids and throw them out the blankety blank window for all I care. You know, I've never hit a woman. Even though she was pretty butch, we could have tangoed for sure. But it was right there. Like, I'm gonna hit her right in the nose just one time. Just one time. Lord, please release me. And so, even though I had the whole plane like chanting, like antagonizing me. Get him! Yeah, I'm glad you're, I'm like, finally somebody's standing up against this. And so I just went, okay, sat down. And then she was barking in my ear. I thought, you know what? What I'm doing, what I don't want her to do, now I'm doing, right? And so now I'm feeding into this and I'm becoming one of them. That's what you do on Facebook. I'm just letting you know. They are proving their point that you're a Karen. Hello, somebody. And so I just sat down. And she chirped and chirped and chirped. We finally landed. The marshal came on and said, who is it? Of course, I stood up and I said, this one right here. Does anybody want to press charges? Hello, that's me. But you know what? I took the higher perspective. I tell you what, at that moment, the Spirit of God really did have to correct me because I did want to lose it. How many of y'all ever been at those moments where I wanted to lose it? But listen, am I doing any good for her? Am I doing any good for me? Am I doing any good for my kids? No. Listen, you'll inherit the earth. I'm not driven by this woman behind me who's mad at her girlfriend. I got cities to build and contracts to fill. I've got people to lead to the Lord. I've got to be an example. Listen, you've got to be an example. You may not have kids in the home, but you've got to be an example to somebody. Meek. Are you getting it this morning? Number three is this. I see this. You'll have supernatural power. Supernatural power. See, when you're not driven by the things of what he or she said, but somebody, you give me somebody that is submitted to God and submitted to the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, I'm telling you, they were way more powerful. I can see them in the church. People that volunteer, people that give their time up here, people that are submitted to God and not driven by every little thing. I don't like so-and-so. They don't like what I do. I don't like what they do. And they walk around like this. I'm being honest. You guys are laughing. You know exactly, you're thinking of somebody right now, or you're that person. We got to be submitted to him. And I'm telling you, those people walk around with a supernatural confidence and a supernatural power that nobody else has. I wrote this down as I was thinking, I was writing about meekness. Mother Teresa said this. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet as we come to a close here. Anybody get anything out of the word today? Mother Teresa said this. Speak as little as you possibly can about yourself. Keep busy with your own affairs, not those of others. Accept small irritations with good humor. Do not dwell on the faults of others. Gosh, we need to hear that, don't we? Accept being forgotten and disregard with ease. Be courteous and delicate even when someone provokes you. Do not seek to be admired or loved. Give in discussions even when you're right. Choose always the more difficult task. I'm telling you, all these, when I thought of this, this is somebody who's meek. It's not somebody who's weak. Remember, we're not driven by the wind and every thought of doctrine, right? Even that, you need to hear that by the Spirit of God. You need to be careful what you're listening to. Because not all of it on YouTube lines up with the Word of God. We don't need to be driven by it. So-and-so said, listen to this. So-and-so said that. You need to be very careful of that. But also, too, stop being this one right here. I'm telling you, the best leaders are meek leaders. The best leaders are meek leaders. The best moms are meek moms. The best dads are meek dads. The best bosses are meek bosses. The best Americans are meek Americans. Amen? Are we going to stand our ground? Yes, we are. We're going to do it with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Amen? Praise God. God, I thank you for your word today. I pray, Lord, that today, Lord, that this went into our heart. This God in our heart, that Lord, that we would see favor comes upon our life. Inheritance comes upon our life. Supernatural power comes upon our life. Lord, I pray for these inside of the room. Lord, I pray that they would have a meek heart. They would have a meek spirit. Lord, that they would have a tenderness towards you, God. That they would not be driven by the affairs and things of family or of this world. Lord, may we submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. God, I pray that this soaks in us, that we live it out. Jesus' name. If you're in this room today and you say, Pastor, I'm away from the Lord. I don't know Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. I can honestly say today, if I died, I don't know if heaven would be my home or if hell would be my home. If you don't know, then you've never made this decision before. The Bible tells us this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible tells us if we admit that we're a sinner, then he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us. He tells us that if we believe that he died, he was buried, on the third day he rose again, and we confess him as our Lord, that he'd come live on the inside of us. He'd be that friend that sticks closer than any brother. If you're out there today and you say, Pastor, you know what? I don't have a relationship with the Lord. Or maybe you're out there and say, you know what? I'm away from the Lord. Maybe sin is in operation in your life that's separated you from God. But today you want to get things right. Today's the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. He'll save you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you said, no matter what wrongs you've brought in people's life, he'll forgive you as far as the east is from the west. You've just got to confess it to him. So if you're out there and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. Today is the day of salvation for you. If that's you, just lift your hand. Who is that? Who is that needs to ask Jesus to come live on the inside of them? Amen. Hey, you know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at a room full of world changers. We can change our world, and he gives the ingredient to do it. It may look different the way the world tells us to do it, but how many of y'all know it's from God when it stretches us? Let's be meek this week.
Thanks for joining us. We want to thank all of you who give to our ministries here at AOL Church. It's because of you that all of this is possible. You can give now by clicking the link below. And if you haven't already, subscribe and share this message. It helps us reach more people and share the gospel through you. Be sure to stay connected to us through our Church Center app, our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, and follow us on social media like Facebook and Instagram. May the Lord bless you and keep you. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. Thanks again for listening. Go and make a difference today.